Tony's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tony's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
You better believe it, I'll get it, man. Right here in the bunker. Terrible Tommy here. Tom Metzger. Yeah, you know me. The offensive one. I enjoy offending people. And boy, I do it, too. Hey, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you communicate with us by snail mail. Send us your donations for the radio show, the world-renowned Insurgent Radio Show, Radio Network. And that's where you go to resist.com to get educated. Now, I try to educate you a little bit here, but you need to go to resist.com to get really educated. I'm going to play you a little something I picked up off a film last night. And I hope you can understand it. It's one cop. He's a pretty jaded guy. He's been at it a long time. And he's got it pretty well figured out. And his buddy, who is a freelance photographer, who goes out to these crime scenes and takes all the gory pictures. And they're sitting at a coffee shop, and here's their little psychological dialogue.
You never try out before. You seem like a real crime buff.
I never passed a psych test. Plus me with a badge and a gun?
Forget it.
I'd be waving those things around every 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm well trained.
I'm getting weird. I mean, just lately, I've been feeling a little divergent.
Divergent?
Yeah, squirrely. It's just, I spent a lot of time living in my head, you know. And it was like an ordeal, just keeping it together lately. And it doesn't seem normal.
Well, don't ask me about normal, because I sure should come and tell you.
It's like, say some loud dipshit put down his cell phone in the bank. I want to blow his fucking head off, right out the trunk. I'm serious. I feel like the world would be a better place if I did.
Take it easy. I could be worried.
Shit.
Yeah, I get a little ice water too, sweet.
You must get frustrated. I mean, locking up these guys all the time will eventually get out.
You mean guys you could never, ever be rehabilitated?
Right, yes. Okay, let me ask you this. Would the world be a better place if, let's say, 5 out of 10 of these guys that you lock up just had a bullet in their heads?
Try 9 out of 10.
No shit, for real?
Absolutely.
Okay, right. So how do you deal with that? How do you justify it? Don't you ever just want to simplify the process?
Thank you, babe. You know, this whole angry white man routine is very cute. It's very 1992.
But I like it. Thank you very much.
Are you fucking kidding me? Everybody feels like this.
I don't know anybody who does.
But what are you gonna do?
Okay.
feelings inside of me. And part of me wants to be good and righteous, and the other part of me wants to be evil and vengeful. And the old guy looks at me and says, every one of us has a good wolf and a bad wolf living inside of us. So the young kid says to him, which one is stronger? And the old guy says, whichever one you feed
more. Yeah. Whichever wolf you feed. I love it. I love it. Anyhow, this cameraman goes on to become sort of a vigilante, a very piss poor vigilante, but he does some vigilante stuff, but he screws up and shoots some people who shouldn't be shot, sort of like these idiots out there in Las Vegas and like that. And Glenn Parker down there. Fraser, Glenn, same kind of a situation. They go out and they're going to start a revolution. They're going to kill people to do it, but they kill white people. Oh, Jesus. Well, they're really getting off to a good start. And that leads me up to an email I got from Lone Wolf, one of our many lone wolves, one of our very intelligent lone wolves, obviously not a right winger. In full agreement with your comments related to the cop shootings in Las Vegas. This was really just classic stupidity by the right wing. First they decide they will begin their revolution by killing lowly street cops who are, let's face it, just cogs in a wheel of the machine. And then they compound it by choosing two white cops on top of it. They follow that genius plan up by running over to the Walmart store and then shooting yet another white man to death. What can I say about stuff like this? Just pure stupidity. Well, Tommy would say insanity. And a prime example of the dysfunction in the right wing. Now we all suffer a public relations black eye as the news stories roll about these three husbands and fathers shot down by neo-Nazis. Why don't these suicidal types ever decide to actually try to make a difference and aim for the people that are running the game instead of the pawns on the chessboard? This has become a disgusting, repeating pattern of failure and incompetence. What about the bankers, the Federal Reserve, the Wall Streeters, the politicians, the CEOs, and so on and so on? When is it going to dawn on these types of incompetence that power rests at the top of the pyramid, not at the bottom? So between them and Glenn Miller, we have six white non-Jews dead, not counting these two morons, and Miller in jail for the rest of his miserable life. Some revolution. Well, I agree totally about that. And Obama's incensed and wants more gun control. I don't care if they want to go after more gun control. It's not going to affect what I do or say one little bit. But here's a guy, let's face it, here's a guy who's droning people in the Middle East, killing them off, and he's still behind no matter the forces haven't left Afghanistan, so he'll be still behind American troops killing Afghanis all over the place, Taliban, all that kind of stuff. And then he cries like a crocodile tears when a very few people get bumped off here. And I'm not legitimizing them being bumped off. I'm just saying, how can these guys, now think about George Bush Jr. being responsible for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East being killed. And then after that, leaving depleted uranium all over the Middle East, not only infecting hundreds of thousands of vets coming back, which that fuse hasn't even gotten to the explosive point yet, but all those people over there that in Fallujah, they're having, you know, kids with two heads and five eyes and like they'd been taking a bath over at Fukushima in the pool. And so these guys have the gall, the absolute unbelievable gall to go crazy because there's three or four people get shot here. And he was going on and on. It only happens here. No, it happens wherever we're at, wherever this government is at. It don't have to be psychopaths, because the psychopaths are mostly at the top. And what's he talking about? You know what the murder rate is in Guatemala and down that way? Unbelievable. And the kidnappings, the rapes, and everything else. Boy. I mean, to any sane person who looks at this and looks at the news and listens to what Obama says or McCain says or any of these people, you want to tear your eyes out, man. You want to just get off the planet. I'll tell you. But anyhow, this right-wing thing, it's becoming more like a false flag operation. The more I look at it, the more it's getting like a false flag operation. Even when I was in it, I think it was pretty much a false flag operation. Yeah. And so the best thing to do is get rid of the right-wing racial movement altogether. You know, give Duke a bunch of money and tell him to go gamble. Give VNN a bunch of money and do whatever he wants to do, but quit it. You're causing more trouble for the race than you're helping. Your chat boards and your websites are doing us more harm than good. Because every one of your disciples comes out of there doing something screwy. I know Craig Cobb was heavily influenced by VNN. And he thought Miller was okay too. What is this stuff? Now, I'm not talking about a stupid person. Craig Cobb is an intelligent man. Because I've seen him do a lot of intelligent things electronically and on the web and everything else. Why do they fall for this right-wing moronic bullshit that goes on 24 hours a day? I just can't understand it. Other than the insanity of Christianity has a lot to do with it, whether you believe it or not. It does. And even Christian identity, okay in their own minds, genocide, because they saw it in the Bible. Where do you think Hitler learned about it? Hitler studied the Bible. Hitler was going into a seminary at one time. So they read the Bible, they read the Old Testament, and they say, well, yeah, that's the way to go. We'll kill every man, woman, and child. We'll kill all the donkeys, all the asses. We'll kill all the... And then we'll plow up the ground and put salt in it so nothing will grow. That's all in the Old Testament. So what's to learn? You want to learn genocide? Read the Bible. And that's what the little kids are subjected to every Sunday in every mind control center in the world or in the United States in this Christian insanity. And then, of course, you got the Quran over there and their Islamic insanity deal. You know, the only thing I can say that I can respect some of the Eastern Asiatic religions a hell of a lot more than any of these Abrahamic religions. But some guy put out a big long thing. He's out to get the atheists. Yeah, he's out to get. He names me as, you know, one of these atheists. Well, I'm a true free thinker. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in spooks in the sky. Neither Ben Klassen or I, either one. We didn't believe in spooks in the sky. So what's your problem? You can't prove spooks in the sky. Jesus never existed. You can't actually prove that Jesus existed at all. All that shit imperviate, and even you say Jesus was a peaceful, the legend of Jesus was peaceful. No, read what he said. I come bringing a sword. I turned father against mother and mother against father and son against brother. And of course, go back in the beginning, you see the first thing happens. First, second generation, Cain slew Abel. And then that spook in the sky tells Abraham to take Isaac out on top of a mountain and chop his head off. And at the last minute, he says, oh, I'm just kidding. Well, you see, that's deep into the psyche of the white people in this country. And, of course, now they've infused it into the psyche of the blacks. the blacks bought into the same damn spooks in the sky. I every time I run into a black and wants to talk, I say, why would you be a Christian? That was a slave master's religion. This Bible says it's okay to enslave you. Why in the hell would a black person be, and then why would a black person be Islamic? They still have slaves under Islam. What the hell is that? Louis Farrakhan, why are you bullshitting your people? Well, there's good money in it, Tom. Okay. What do they call it? The Jews call him Calypso Farrakhan or something like that. Because he used to be in a Calypso band way back. But as far as learning the ropes, he's learned exactly how to fleece the sheep. He watched the white guys do it and he said, I can do that. Well, when you dance with the devil, this is what happens. Microsoft, one of the world's largest email providers, is resisting a government search warrant to compel the firm to turn over customer data held in a server located overseas. Well, you've been dancing with the devil for a long time. What's new? In what could be a landmark case in Redmond, Washington, company is arguing that such a warrant is not justified by law or constitution. Well, forget the Constitution. Anybody still hanging on to that has really got a problem. Microsoft and other tech firms also fear that if the government prevails and can reach across borders, foreign individuals and businesses will flee their non-U.S. competitors. The materials sought by the government are emails held in a Microsoft data center in Ireland and connected to a drug trafficking investigation. Well, how do you know the stuff is safe in Ireland? I wouldn't think so. The battle, which began in December when a magistrate judge in New York issued the warrant, also raises significant economic and diplomatic issues for the U.S. companies that store mounds of data for others as part of the burgeoning cloud computing industry, which has been battered in the wake of revelations about the cooperation in the U.S. spy agencies conducting broad surveillance. Terrible Tommy's got an opinion. You know, it goes boom in the night, man. The people should rise up and destroy these centers, whether it's the NSA thing up there in Washington or, I don't give a shit, Ireland or wherever it's at. All these places should be taken off the map. Of course, they're not going to do it, but that's what should happen. Quote, if the government's position prevails, it would have huge detrimental impacts on American cloud companies that do business abroad, unquote, said Michael Vates, a lawyer who co-authored a friend of the court brief for Verizon, which operates data centers overseas and which filed its brief on Tuesday in support of Microsoft. The legal issues are novel, a classic example of how technology has lapped the law. Only a few years ago, U.S. email providers held their data in the United States, so there was no issue of whether a court had jurisdiction to issue a warrant for the data. But as more and more U.S. companies hosted massive amounts of data from their customers around the world, they have begun to store much of the information overseas. Well, that's good. Hopefully people over there will rise up and burn them out. That is both to ensure that clients abroad get their videos and emails without delay and to give European clients, for instance, confidence that their records will be subject to European law. Well, the people should rise up first thing and take care of that NSA operation up in the Northwest. I mean, really take care of it. I mean, but they're not going to. No, they're not going to. They'd rather, right wingers would rather run around shooting people on a street corner, white people, than do something that's important. As far as I'm concerned, there's no security anyhow. Anybody thinks there's any security are out of their minds. There's no security. There probably never was. This is all blah, 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 means nothing. You know, they're sending all these kids, small wetbacks, out of Central America and Mexico to shelters in Arizona. You know? Now, according to what I understand, there's about over 500,000 people on the street in this country. And most of them don't have any shelter at all. But this mulatto that's in Washington has seen fit to import more problems. Problems that could be taken care of in Mexico and Central America if they weren't always just fighting each other. Because down in Central America, they'd rather kill each other than switch. It's unbelievable. I keep saying that. It is believable. It's all believable if you want to really fuck things up. And maybe that's what we should be more into, like I've said. The worse is better. You know, there's nothing we can do to stop it at this point. It's going to have to run its course. It's like an out-of-control forest fire. Sometimes you just have to wait it out, let it burn itself out, and then do whatever you're going to do. I used to have a saying that if you were wanting to get on a train, it was coming down the track through the station at, say, 25 miles an hour, and you stood on the platform and just stuck your arm out and grabbed the handle on the car, it'd probably pull your arm right out of the socket. But if you want to be ready to get on the train, that's what we're all about. You got to be running in place as fast as you can, and at the right point, grab a hold of that train and get on. Because if you don't, you'll never get on the train. So that's why you're supposed to be educating yourself, training yourself, and relieving yourself of the Mahan used to call the bowel movement. That's the right wing, the bowel movement. The reporter in Kansas City Star, who I talked to, she said the same thing. She kept asking, is there a movement? No, there's no movement. What movement? There's a bowel movement. Well, good news. This is from the Jews, the Jewish media. The computer industry has Moore's Law, which is an observation that the number of transistors in a dense integrated circuit doubles approximately every 2 years. Israel now has Feiglin's Law, which is an observation that Israel receives an increasing and massive influx of new immigrants whenever major global geopolitical shifts occur. And boy, they're occurring now, especially when those shifts synchronize with increased anti-Jewism and economic problems. Feiglin told the Minister of Aliyah that absorption in the Knesset that he expects 1.5 million Jews to make Aliyah within the decade, as all the conditions are right for it. I predict it'll be at least twice that, Mr. Jew. Let's see here. Feiglin told the Minister of Aliyah, Feiglin points out that throughout Zionism's history, the demographers have been naysayers, proclaiming how few Jews will be in Israel, and even questioning if the Jews will be a majority in our own land that we stole from the Palestinians and other people. In 1898, Shimon Dubnov estimated no more than 500,000 Jews will be in Israel by the year 2000. In the 1940s, Israel Bureau of Statistics estimated that in 2001 there would be no more than 2.3 million Jews in Israel. And then Hitler came along and helped you out. He did the number. He did what the Jews couldn't do themselves. In 1967, demographers actually claimed that Jews would be a minority in Israel by 1987. Yet after the War of Independence, 1 million Jews arrived. Wow. In the 1970s, 300,000 Jews arrived. And after the USSR fell, another 1 million Jews arrived. I wonder how many. There's a lot of non-Jews got out of there at the same time. They're down there pretending they're Jews. And of course, as Feiglin points out, Jewish families still maintain very high birth rates. They do. I didn't know that. And not only among the religious. As history showed, by the year 2000, Israel had over 5 million Jews and are clearly the majority west of the Jordan River. If Feiglin's law is right, then we're going to need a lot more housing in Judea and Samaria. Need a lot more room. And you know how we always get that. We get the United States to beat up on some other country and help us. The guy said, I just hope a good percentage of these ulam will be Americans. I do too. Nothing better than Jews immigrate out from the United States. Whenever there's a big catastrophe or a problem or even sometimes a little catastrophe, the rich Jews get out. So don't pay attention to the poor working class sheep Jews. If you want to know what's happening, watch the rich Jews. Just like it would have given you a clue, all you Hitler worshippers, about what was going on in Germany when all the top rich Jews got out of Germany well in advance and took all their stuff with them and all their money with them and all the German people's money with them. And the SS didn't do anything except open the doors on the train and say, you first, madam. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange how that works? All those rich Jews get out, and the poor Jews are left to get it. Strange. Can you name me and make an example for me of one top Jew banker or power in industry in Germany that was ever grabbed and executed? Or thrown in a concentration camp? Can you? I'll be waiting. Well, I see the Jews over in Israel are trying to pass a new law, you know, for life in prison without parole. Because they want to be able to keep these Muslims in there forever. Well, I don't know. Look at what's going on here. You know, there's a 40% recidivism rate in this country. In other words, they get released and they go out and they commit crimes again and they get thrown back in. So with a 40% recidivism rate, coupled with the number of people they're putting in more and more each year, some of these prisons are going to get to be the size of Rhode Island. Strange. And I'll tell you, they're getting more medieval all the time, according to the reports. Somebody said they were making this TV show in a prison, and looking around, the prison was so filthy and rats everywhere and shit bubbling up through the floor and everything. You can write that off to the Christians. They believe in that divine retribution, man, that Old Testament stuff, man. Put them in there, goddammit, and punish them for the rest of their life. Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to be a religion of love. Ha, ha, ha. Poor Eric Cantor, and he so much wanted to be Speaker of the House and get that drunk Boehner out of there. He really wanted that job. But he was arrogant. He spent most of his time out of his district raising money. And then they told him he was ahead by about 63%, and he got his ass beat. So now we got probably a Christian teabagger in there. Nothing much is going to change. You know, they don't need Jews in these offices. The Christians are Jewish enough. They'll carry on. They're better Jews than the Jews. I mean, there's things that the Jews won't even think to attempt that a Christian is he's not embarrassed at all. I'll pull this shit, and he gets away with it. So, you know, the old hard money of the Jews has always said, don't get into these politics. Don't get your face up front. Be in the background. Don't be up front. But the young Jews of this century, they say, this is our time now. We're coming out of the closet. We're going to put our face right out there. And every time throughout history the Jews have done this, they get whacked. This will be no difference. This time is no different. You know, Obama and the usual suspects, they keep talking about more gun control and limiting gun ownership and taking the guns away from certain people and all that. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good idea, but first I want to disarm the military-industrial complex. I want them to turn in all of their atomic weapons to a centrally located control where they could be defused and taken out of the picture. I want to see no more Secret Service around the White House with guns. No, don't want to see that. And once we get the government, who's the real criminal in this case, the one that really helps destroy the country through the educational system and everything else and turning young men into psychopathic killers by throwing them into bloodbaths in the Middle East. Once we get these psychopaths disarmed, and I'm sure that 90% of us, maybe 95%, will be gladly disarmed. But until then, disarm your ass. Sorry, Obama. And what are you going to do when you get back to South Chicago in that big house over there? I know you're going to have Secret Service, but how many years? Well, I guess for life. But they'll get lazy and, you know, you never know what's going to happen in Chicago. Well, I see the Southern Baptists are going to vote on a new president. He better be black or you're going to be in big trouble. Well, I see Al Gore has come out and supported Edward Snowden. Snowden has secured his highest endorsement yet in the U.S. when former Vice President Al Gore described the leaking of top secret intelligence documents an important service. Asked if he regarded Snowden as a traitor or a whistleblower, Gore veered away from the traitor label. He refused to go as far as labeling him a whistleblower, but signaled he viewed him as being closer to that category than a traitor, saying, quote, what he revealed in the course of violating important laws included violations of the U.S. Constitution that were way more serious than the crimes he supposedly committed. Well, that's pretty ballsy of Al Gore. Now, I wonder what's going to happen to him. Now, you remember BP, that bunch of psychopaths that screwed up the Gulf of Mexico and the coast of Alaska many years ago, which they've incidentally never properly cleaned up and never properly identified the people they injured. Well, the Federal Aviation Administration said Tuesday it has granted the first permission for commercial drone flights over the U.S. land to the BP Energy Corporation. The latest effort by the agency to show it is loosening restrictions on commercial uses of unmanned aircraft. No, it isn't. You're bowing to a bunch of bandits in British Petroleum. And you might as well be giving away the farm. Drone maker AeroVironment of California and BP Energy Corporation have been given permission to use a Puma drone to survey pipelines, roads, and equipment at Prudhoe Bay in Alaska, the agency said. The first flight took place on Sunday. Puma is a small, hand-launched craft about 4.5 feet long and with a 9-foot wingspan. It was initially designed for military use. Well, they'll get bigger ones pretty soon, and they'll be cooperating with the government and using them not only to check their pipelines, but to check your pipelines. As I said, at the time the Gulf was being destroyed, they should nationalize everything BP's got in North America immediately. I guess that didn't happen, did it? Oh, Christ, here we go again. South Carolina okays the Confederate flag at Citadel Military College. All the good old boys, and I'll buy a round of beer on that one. A Confederate flag displayed on the Citadel Military College in Charleston, South Carolina, can keep flying despite objections that it's offensive, the state attorney general's office said on Tuesday. A Charleston official had objected to the presence of the flag in the college's Somerville Chapel, and he was probably black, but not necessarily, where it has flown since 1939. Wasn't that about the time Gone with the Wind movie came out? And called for cutting almost $1 million in public funding from the school. In an opinion on Tuesday, Solicitor General Robert D. Cook said South Carolina's 2000 Heritage Act protects monuments and memorials honoring the gallantry and sacrifice in this state's various wars. Yeah, honoring the insane committing suicide of thousands of young men to protect the capitalist idea of slavery. That's all it ever was a capitalist, early capitalist ploy. And what, 500,000 men died trying to protect that? Just like they do today, the corporations sending all the troops over there to defend the corporations, men. And, of course, they always say, these are gallant men, these are great patriotic people, the great generation, and all that kind of bullshit. Well, here's good news. The Scottish government said Tuesday it's reduced its greenhouse gas emissions by more than 25% since 1990 and is on pace to hit 42% by 2020. Quote, Scotland has the world's leading climate change targets, unquote. Scottish Minister for Environment and Climate Change, Paul Wheelhouse, said in a statement, quote, with a target of 42% by 2020, we're ahead of the United Kingdom at 34% and well ahead of the EU at 20%. Well, American prisons are becoming just as rotten and rat-infested with bad water and everything else that exists in south of the border. But the Supreme Court refuses to hear a California prison overcrowding case. Well, how many guys do you think you're going to put in one of those little teeny cells? The Supreme Court declined on Monday to hear an appeal of a court order that requires California to ensure that disabled inmates who are housed in county jails to ease crowding in state prisons receive appropriate accommodations. The court's denial highlighted tensions between most populous U.S. state and federal courts about crowding and conditions in California's troubled prison system. The state has been under court orders to reduce its prison population since 2009 and has sought to comply partly by funneling some nonviolent offenders to county jurisdiction. Well, it's simple. All you have to do some night is leave the gates unlocked and all you guards go to the bar. That'll solve your problem real quick. You know, whoever came up with his label, Friendly Fire, ought to have his balls blown off. Iraq's prime minister has declared a state of emergency after armed fighters believed to be part of the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant seized the northern Iraq province of Nineveh and freed hundreds of prisoners. Overnight, hundreds of rebels launched an assault on the provincial capital, Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, engaging in combat with troops and police, officials said on Tuesday. So Iraq's right back, not back to what it was, because it, under Saddam Hussein, it was under control. Just like Muammar Gaddafi had his country under control. But we like to murder people who keep things under control, don't we? Well, just a clue, boys. That can happen to any leader in any country. And if you set a pattern of doing it, I don't know what's going to happen. You never know. Because whether anybody realizes it or not, anybody can be reached. Well, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals is on the high horse again. This isn't the first time PETA has made an inept comparison between human beings and animals, nor is it the most outrageous. The distinction belongs to the group's 2003 ad campaign and traveling exhibition, quote, "The Holocaust on Your Plate," unquote, helpfully abbreviated by PETA in oblivious recognition of its own morally asinine triviality as H-O-Y-P, just juxtaposing forlorn-looking pigs at an albator with shaven-headed Jews lined up for the gas chamber. The campaign explicitly claimed that, quote, "To animals, all people are Nazis." To say that all people are Nazis, of course, trivializes the crimes of the actual Nazis. This is from the Jews, which is precisely why Germany's Supreme Court banned the campaign. PETA today claims it was a Jewish staffer inspired by a line in Isaac Bashevis Singer's novel comparing the life of animals to the eternal Treblinka, who came up with the idea. Of course, PETA devised a Jewish alibi for its sick message, much like the novelist Howard Jacobson mercilessly satirizing as a Jew Jews, who only provoked their Jewishness as a pretext for bashing Israel. I imagine PETA's latest ploy for the hearts and minds of homosexuals sprang from the febrile imagination of one of these many gay employees. Mentioning the Holocaust and the mass slaughter of animals for consumption in the same sentence is not ipso facto inappropriate. Rather, PETA gets the horror of comparison entirely backwards. What shocks the human conscience about Holocaust was the way in which humans were treating fellow humans like animals. The comparison does not work vice versa, saying that our treatment of animals is morally equivalent. Let's see here. Morally equivalent to what the Nazis did to the Jews makes the vast majority of mankind out to be Nazis. Well, when you're in love, everybody's a Nazi. It is reducto ad Hitlerum, taken to the perverse, illogical, outlandish extreme. In saying I do not want the struggles faced by animals such as they are to be likened to those faced by Jews, gays, and other human groups, I'm not motivated by some spiteful animus made at keeping animals down. Cruelty to animals is legally proscribed and morally wrong. Just because we have dominion over animals does not mean that we have the right to act barbarously against them. But even then, our concern is motivated mostly by a selfish one. The recognition that those who abuse animals for their own sadistic pleasure are far more likely to commit violence against those for whose welfare we feel a speciesist concern. That is, our fellow humans. Punishing animal abuse prevents human abuse. Well, I'm glad you set me straight on that, Mr. Sir. Oh boy, get this one. Anti-Jewish Hungarian politician Bries, former right-winger, gets really serious about his unexpected Jewish heritage. This stuff always drives me up the wall. Up the wall. I've never been able to understand why you can quit being a Baptist, you can quit being a Catholic, you can even quit being a Holy Roller, but you can't quit being a Jew. Well, other than the fact that a lot of them come from Asiatic, East Asia, European Asiatic communities, which physiologically makes them not Aryan or not specifically white. Other than that, why shouldn't they be able to quit being a Jew and say, now I'm an anti-Jew? Well, here's the article. What happens when a member of parliament representing Hungary's notorious far-right Jobbik party, known for its members, fascist anti-Jewish sentiments and statements, finds out he's Jewish? Well, he's not Jewish just because you say he's Jewish. He can say, I quit. I don't want to be a Jew anymore. For Sanad Sirzigidi, who discovered his maternal grandparents, back to his grandparents, were Jewish, and I wonder how Jewish they were, in 2012, and was promptly dropped from his political party. It's meant embracing his unexpected heritage, AP reports, visiting Israel, adopting a kosher diet, speaking to Hungarian students at Auschwitz, and taking on the Hebrew name of David, and getting circumcised. Now, this guy's about 30 years old. Last year, he sought out a young rabbi in a local Orthodox Jewish community after a period of intense religious instruction. Zagadi, I guess that's his name, was circumcised. They put his dick on the block and chopped it, man, last June. Oh, God, it gives me the willies. A year to the day after he broke with Jobbik. Circumcision is such a barbaric, I don't even want to defame the barbarians. It's insane. It's religious insanity. Today he takes like the guy in the Bible who had to get so many, he had to win a battle and get so many foreskins to get God to love him. Jesus. Today he takes the Jewish religion classes with his wife, who is also converting to Judaism. Some poor Aryan girl now is converting to Judaism. Well, why didn't he convert out of Judaism? I've said this for a long time. A guy wants to stop being a Jew and he's racially okay, then forget it. Quote, I am just as Hungarian as until now, but I expanded my identity with the Jewish identity. See how these guys fall into this trap? He's only 31 years old. Now he's going to try to out-Jew the Jews. Quote, I have two tasks ahead of me, to teach and to learn. I want to be a bridge. Now, you know what happens to bridges. They get walked over and ran over by trucks and collapse. Zagadi, admittedly, had a lot of work to do to embrace his growing Jewish identity. His just-published manifesto, I Believe in Hungary's Resurrection, was filled with pages of the anti-Jewish rants characteristic of his public speeches and writings. So he got a hold of several thousand copies and he burned them. I thought it was nasty to burn books. I thought that's what the Nazis did. He advocated for stronger ties with Israel in the parliament. He met regularly with Rabbi Baruch Oberlander, the director of Shabbat in Budapest. Some of these guys, when they go nuts, they go all the way nuts. And it took Zagadi going under the knife to prove his commitment to his newfound brothers in the faith. After his dick got chopped, Oberlander added, some Jews said, ah, now we see he is really serious. No, there's a hell of a lot more insane people out there that will let you cut on their dick. In fact, there's so many weird psychopaths out there, they'll get off on it, you know? This reminds me of them saying that they found that Craig Cobb had some DNA that took him back to the sub-Saharan Negroes. That was the phoniest bunch of bullshit in the world. he's supposed to quit? Well, that DNA stuff, number one, is very easy to get labs all phonied up to come up with whatever you want. But anyhow, like I said at the time, well, he was one of the finer, Craig Cobb, racially, was one of the finer specimens around. He was okay. But these guys get scared, worried this guy's going to change his whole life. He'll never be totally trusted. He can cut his dick completely off, and he'll never be on the inner circle of those Jews.
But they might accept him into the female section.
Don't you see? This is what religious insanity brings people to. It just keeps going on and on. Religious insanity.
Hi, I'm Max Kaiser. This is the Kaiser Report. The war against financial terrorists like Jamie Dimon and Ben Bernanke will be won in places like this, the Global Nerve Center and HQ of GoldSilver.com here in Santa Monica, California. Stacey Herbert, talk to me.
Max, everywhere we go here in America, we see debt pushers, and the result of their over debt pushing. They're pushing this debt crack on people who are just dropping debt all over the street. So I have a headline here that is going to put into context and explain this bigger debt pushing story. The most dangerous drug in the world, devil's breath. Chemical from Colombia can block free will, wipe memory, and even kill. Scopolamine. Often blown into faces of victims or added to drinks. Within minutes, victims are like zombies, coherent but with no free will. Some victims report emptying bank accounts to robbers or helping them pillage their own house. And this is taken from the Get You Drunk tree in Colombia.
Yes, well, you could, another name for that, financially speaking, would be ZERP, where it creates financial zombies, like Japan, for example. Many zombie banks are roaming the countryside, high on 0% interest rates. And this is a plague around the world. Bankers and central bankers high to the gills. On this 0% interest rates. They don't need the scopian, scopala, skipitama, whatever this crazy drug is. You just listen to the Federal Open Market Committee and Ben Bernanke's testimony before Congress will get you totally zooted on this kind of ZERP.
And you often talk about the casino gulag model, where people go in and they think, wow, I lost $1 million, but they gave me 3 free drinks, and I had a really good time. One victim of this scopoline in Colombia, she took the man to her house and helped him gather all of her belongings, including her boyfriend's cameras and savings. She said, quote, "It is painful to have lost money, but I was actually quite lucky."
Well, it's like George Clooney here in Los Angeles. You know, he invited Obama to his house. And he put some mojo fojo on him, you know, pixie dust in his eyes, some scopoline, and he's a zombie now, raising money for this front man for the dangerous central planners and cartels.
But, again, using this as a metaphor for the debt pushers is a lot of Americans will go into debt and basically sell their children's futures and say, well, I'm quite lucky because we have this SUV in the parking lot.
Toothless debt whores in the parking lot trying to score some more easy money from J.P. Morgan. And there's Jamie Dimon, chief crackhead in chief, selling that scopoline debt on the sidewalk.
Well, in fact, I bought this new shirt just yesterday here in Santa Monica. And the woman selling it to me, who must have been making, what, $7, $8 an hour, she was very smiley and happy. She seemed quite happy with the fact that she had this job selling me a T-shirt. And she revealed to me that she had just graduated from university, on which she spent $150,000 for a marketing degree, $80,000 of it in student debt.
Yeah, I know this store. That's where I got this suit. I didn't pay a nickel for it. I told her that it was all in the better interest of the greater good if she simply lets me walk out with as many clothes as I want. You're saying that she gave me that zombie look, like she just got, you know, the crack from Jamie Dimon. And she said, great, great.
Well, in this story about the devil's breath, this drug in Colombia that you just can blow into somebody's face and they turn into a zombie and give you whatever you want, they talked to a drug dealer named Dementia Black. He said the drug turns people to complete zombies and blocks memories from forming. So even after the drug wears off, victims have no recollection as to what happened. And that, again, we have no recollection of what happened that our nation is $14 trillion in debt. We have no recollection as to how our Federal Reserve has trillions more in debt. We have no recollection why we are so in debt.
No, it's like Jamie Dimon's name is Dementia Black and Blue, because he's the blue logo from Chase, right? And they have no memory of the last quarter when Bernanke went in front of Congress and said the debt ceiling was just breached. We have to raise the debt ceiling. Then the next quarter he comes back and says, oh, the debt ceiling was breached. We need a debt ceiling. They go, how did that happen? I don't remember. Did it happen before? Did we ever breach the debt ceiling? I don't know. Must be the Dementia Black and Blue that Jamie Dimon blew in my face the last time he was ever in Congress, lying through his teeth because the guy's a terrorist.
Well, exactly. I mean, Ben Bernanke claims he's a historian of the Great Depression, and yet he has no recollection of what caused the Great Depression and continues to do the same thing that happened back then, but he claims I'm an expert on it.
He'll get a job down in Columbia. I'm sure we'll see him. Or we'll end up on one of those news stories about the, well, I'm not going to go into that news story about the Mexicans and the headless people on the border. That would be too, you know, crude for this show, so leave that to your imagination.
But you brought up Dementia Black and Blue. Who is Matt Zaimes?
Who is Matt Zaimes?
Exactly. Well, former long-term capital management terrorist Matt Zaimes assumes the reins of $70 trillion in J.P. Morgan's exploding fin crap, which I believe is a word you made up.
I coined that word, financial crap or fin crap. Apparently, this guy from long-term capital management, who you recall blew up the economy back, oh, when Greenspan was the Federal Reserve chairman, and they actually had a lower interest rate to bail out these yacht owners in Connecticut. So grannies around the world got less that month so that these yacht owners in Connecticut could, you know, be bailed out of their losing position. He was involved. So now that they got rid of the crud on their trading desk in London, being replaced with this guy, he's a known financial terrorist. If you go to the post office, you see his face on the wall. That's who they're recruiting from. Known financial terrorists.
Well, yeah, they, like I said, this drug, this devil's breath drug from Colombia, people totally forget. They become zombies. They don't remember a single thing of what they, all the mistakes they made, how they came to have no belongings left in their home. The fact is they handed it over to the drug pusher, but they have no recollection of it. So how do we keep on hiring the same people who blew up, who almost blew up the world economy? That was the first time we almost blew up due to derivatives and the Martingale betting technique of doubling down, doubling down. And this is what has just happened out of London, is J.P. Morgan doubled down, doubled down, doubled down. And now they're trapped in this position where they still have those positions open.
You mentioned the Martingale betting system, and it's been mentioned recently. And this is actually an important issue to consider. If you go to the casino, you put $100 on red and you lose, and you're going to make it back by betting on red again, and you do this 10 times in a row with $100, do you know what it would take on that 11th bet to get even? $200,000. And that's how quickly exponential growth in risk happens on these desks, whether it's JP Morgan or elsewhere on Wall Street. But instead of any accountability whatsoever, they inhale the devil's breath. They engage in selective amnesia. They have no memory that they just blew up some county in Montgomery County or some other country like Greece. And they think we're going to get lucky this time. They're degenerates. They're gambleaholics. They should be in a program for debt-aholism.
And now the article about the Colombian drug says that experts are baffled as to why Colombia is riddled with these scopolamine-related crimes. And it's the same thing here. They look around and they seem baffled by, why is the economy so bad? Why are people unemployed? Why are there 50 million people on food stamps? We don't know. And it's the same sort of experts are baffled.
Well, it's because it's a zombie nation, vampire nation. And so when you're introduced into that cult, you then believe all the ideology of that cult. Ben Bernanke is a cult leader. He's putting forth this message like Charles Manson, of getting people hooked on this non-functioning economy as a way to express their inner psychosis.
Yes, and, well, they go before Congress, the likes of Ben Bernanke or Jamie Dimon or Lloyd Blankfein, and they blow this debt drug all over everybody, and they forget. They think it's all great. Now, U.S. consumers increased their borrowing in March, $21.4 billion, largest gain since 2001. So total borrowing rose to a seasonally adjusted $2.54 trillion. That's slightly below the all-time high of $2.58 trillion reached in July 2008, 8 months after the Great Recession began. But here's how they describe it here, Max. More borrowing is generally viewed as a healthy sign for the economy.
It is a healthy sign for an economy that's based entirely on borrowing and consumption with debt for a population that is increasingly becoming less educated and more in the throes of the ideological cult masters who give them the devil's breath and on the seeds of their own destruction. And that's exactly right. It's a beautiful equation. This is the vampire model. If you clamp on somebody's neck and you suck out all their blood, and now they wake up in the middle of the night looking for other people to suck on their blood, then you're a success.
And it continues, it suggests consumers are gaining confidence and growing more comfortable taking on debt. But as we described with this devil's breath, if you blow it in people's faces, they're being led as a zombie.
Well, I mean, here we are in Los Angeles, and it even percolates up to the pop culture. This is why we have a movie after movie featuring teenager zombies. This is an attempt to get teenagers to buy into the ideology of being perpetually in debt for the rest of their lives so they can support the cult masters and the devil's breath-wielding psychopaths at the top, whether it's Bernanke or Diamond, the black and blue dementia man himself there in New York City, driving the entire economy into the grave.
You know, a lot of people out there will say, well, you know, those people are the bad ones. They're borrowing, and I'm saving, and I'm buying silver, gold. I'm protecting myself. And yet, when you look back at the Jamie Dimon and the $70 trillion or $90 trillion, as some say, their derivatives book that is apparently being doubled down every week, that debt is being blown in our face like this devil's breath, because ultimately, it doesn't matter what you do as a responsible individual. Jamie Dimon is there with Barack Obama and says, give it to them. Give all my bad debts to those people. So whether you want it or not, this debt is being blown in your face.
Right. And every 30 seconds, somebody calls in to goldsilver.com here in Santa Monica, California, and they say, I want protection against this cult of vampire snobs and smugs. I want to buy silver. They want the silver cross. They want the silver spike.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get rid of these zombies and vampires is with the silver spike, the silver bullet, as it were, for those who want to get a little bit more aggressive.
And finally, this is a story we're going to cover a little bit more extensively very soon. It's another silver spike against Jamie Dimon. And that's the Wells notice. Why this is important? Because while all of this giant, $2 billion loss out of their London derivatives desk, while all that stuff is going on, and while Jamie Dimon was over there on all the Sunday talk shows saying, oops, we made a little mistake, it was a little egregious mistake, well, Terry Boole, who often comes on the show, did a little research and looked at their 10Q and their latest statements. SEC tells J.P. Morgan enforcement action coming over Bear's mortgage backed securities violations. So J.P. Morgan's latest 10Q states, quote, in January 2012, the firm was advised by SEC staff that they are considering recommending to the commission that civil or administrative actions be pursued arising out of two separate investigations they have been conducting. So this opens up all the civil litigants against J.P. Morgan to discovery. They're allowed to now get a lot of this information.
Well, that's why 9 out of 10 hedge funds with any kind of performance are now short J.P. Morgan stock. All right, Stacey Herbert, thanks so much for being on the Kaiser Report.
Thank you, Matt.
Don't go away, much more coming your way.
Well, that's a back show, but it was a very good show, and I thought it bared repeating there with Max Kaiser on this debt quicksand that everybody's in, sinking fast into the bog. That's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. And this is Terrible Tommy signing off and saying, you gotta laugh because it's getting crazier and crazier and crazier out there, man. 14-5 and shut up. Let the rest of them blab.
Country rocks, but bluegrass rules.
Thank you.